to the second week of the Model Breakers podcast. This week, Chris and I are going to highlight one of the most commonly asked questions in the LivingOS group coaching program. So this week, we have a question from a lot of our fellows, which is, how do we navigate the feeling of less than? When we look at our colleagues or peers, we often couldn't help but compare where we are at. Maybe we feel like they're more successful financially, relationship-wise, or in any other metrics you want to look. You feel more inferior. You are frustrated that you aren't as good as they are. And this is the question we're going to discuss today.
Yeah, so that's a common struggle, but I'm curious whether Charlene also shared the same.
I used to feel that, but not anymore. I think it came from finding something that I'm deeply passionate about, something that I really care for, and something that I know I'm the only person playing that game. So I also have something bigger than myself that I'm working towards, and that really helped me recenter myself and not feel that competition anymore.
Interesting. So I have two questions. One is, what's your current game? And second is, how did you get there?
Before we talk about game, let me define it. So I think a lot of the games, or rules, better put, is how do people measure success? How do people set up a structure? How do you show up every day, right? It can be a corporate game, like the ladder the company has. It can be a certain fundraising target timeline that you're working towards. It can be a certain ambitious professional or personal goal. But for me, it's really using the unique combination of the book I'm writing, Model Breakers, the program I'm leading, the LivingOS Fellowship, and the newsletter, the writing I do every week, to create the most value for the people who were just like me a couple years back.
Yeah, and how did you shift from competition-oriented mindset to the current one?
I used to be really competitive, but to a point where I tried to get every single goals, and actually got most of them, and I realized that I wasn't happy. Hitting off those goals wasn't happy because they're not something I like. They're something someone else has set up a while ago and deemed them as prestigious. Knowing that, I really had to look and inquire, what are something I enjoy doing? It's writing, talking to people, and using conversation to guide them to their own realization. So focusing on that intersection, I was able to experiment a lot and eventually land onto LivingOS, the platform that is serving high achievers in the world.
That sounds fantastic. And sounds like it takes time, experimentation, to really understand what you enjoy doing and finding some interesting intersections.
It's all about gathering feedback, because you can know what you like, but you don't know how other people feel like it. And it's hard to know how long it will take you, but the best thing is to start and iterate daily.
Mm-hmm. What about in the meantime? How can people navigate the competition that they are feeling, experiencing at their job or school work?
Yeah, I can talk about that, but I'd love to hear from your experience as well. So competition itself is a neutral thing, right? It's just a byproduct of having high ambition. And that's actually pretty awesome. So knowing that there's nothing to be ashamed of, it's nothing bad, you like competition, you grew up with that, that's cool. Okay, how do you actually use that competition to help you take action? I think it's the key question to solve. So if you have a competition you want to win at work, look at who is winning it and then learn from them. Study their game, and maybe that can help inspire you to become who you want to be. Do you have any experiences at work before?
Yeah, for myself, I subconsciously compare myself to my peers. For example, when I saw someone who got promoted faster than I did, I think I felt jealous. And sometimes it served me well, sometimes it served me poorly. When it served me well, it got me realize the importance of managing up things like that and put in effort to improve them and got rewards.
Mm-hmm.
On the flip side, sometimes it hurt my motivation to improve things, and to an extent that it caused me to avoid some aspects or skill sets that I could have improved. So one example was that I saw a peer who was really good at interpersonal relationship building. That's something that I'm not naturally good at. I think that jealousy had that bad effect to cause me to avoid that. For example, I was telling myself that she's good because she's good at building relationship, but that's not who I am. So I wouldn't do that. And I think that story that I told myself actually hindered me from improving the soft skills that would have been super useful.
So it's kind of like the ego, the judgment, the defensiveness you put on
yeah.
stopped you from being humble and learning from that person.
Right.
So that's to your peers. When you coach your reports or your mentees, have you seen anything similar?
Yeah, definitely have seen something similar, but I would like to share another example that I thought interesting. Some of my mentees, they asked me how I got promoted every 2 years, and I shared how I did that, like focusing on different aspects at different stage, at different levels. And the interesting thing was that the next time I talked to them, they were still doing things the same way.
What has kept them there?
I think it could be the inertia. People tended to stay in their comfort zone doing the same things that they are already good at. Or it could be the pressure from the team lead to deliver on the same level or scope of things that they were already good at doing.
So it sounds like to break out of that cycle, they would have to up-level their skills so they can do the original job with less effort and use that extra effort to learn, to grow, to experiment.
Yeah.
How does those up-leveling take place?
I think the first one is the willingness. You first need to be willing to admit that, yeah, you need to improve in that particular aspect and seeking help from your lead or manager, your peers. Like we always say, feedback is a gift. So ask them how you are doing in this particular one.
But it looks like the one example you shared, the person has come to you with that problem and they ask for feedback. So they are willing to grow or at least willing to take feedback.
Right. But the willingness is also about taking actions. So the fact that they were still doing things the same way meant to me that they were not taking actions.
And what has been stopping them from taking action?
Yeah, we just talked about that, the inertia.
Yeah, so it's a vicious cycle in some ways.
Mm-hmm. The key is really to turn that jealousy into...
Curiosity. Right, and if you're interested in like how do you actually do so, in the newsletter on Substack, issue 111, I gave you a really actionable list of questions you can ask yourself that really helped me a few years back when I didn't know what to do, where to start. And I hope that will help you as well.
Yeah. And with the curiosity, you can identify the gaps. And the next key thing is to take actions.
Mm-hmm. And by taking action, you're putting yourself out there to improve, to get feedback, and to grow in the most authentic way possible. Because that's really how you get to who you want to be.
Yeah.
Let's sum it all up, and I'll leave you with two things. If you currently are stuck somewhere, you feel like you're getting behind, really just try to understand what do you want and how do you take the first step and seek out people who will be mentoring, sharing feedback to help you do so. And follow up on their advice, because otherwise you're going to disappoint the person who were generous enough to share their experiences with you. On the other hand, if you have the resource to create your own game, highly recommend you to study what you're good at or just look at what you enjoy doing and find that unique intersection. And that's how you get the first step towards your vision of being who you want to be in life. So with that, we'll conclude this week's podcast. And if you have any questions, feedback, feel free to email charlene@livingos.org. Or subscribe to our weekly newsletter at Substack, and we'll share more next week.
Yeah, thank you, everyone. See you next week.
Bye.